Well, good morning, everyone. We're going to make a wee start to our service of worship this morning by singing together the hymn number 138 in our hymn book. It's really the first hymn in the order of service. It's a great old hymn reminding us of the greatness and the glory of Christ. It says, "Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity." We'll keep our seats while we sing, and singing it out heartily unto the Lord. Will we just unite our hearts together in prayer? Let us all pray. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we do gather, O God, before Thee the Sabbath morning. We come to Thee in no merit of our own. But Father, we approach Thee today upon redemption ground. We come to Thee, O God, in and through the precious and worthy and all-prevailing name of Thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And Father, we rejoice afresh tonight and today in Christ the Redeemer. We thank Thee, O God, that He is indeed King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank Thee, O God, that He is the one who is God over all. We thank Thee, O God, that He is the eternal Son of the living God and that Christ is alive forevermore. Father, we thank Thee that He came into this world. He died upon the cross. He rose again. Now, Father, we thank Thee for the precious blood that He shed, that blood that cleanses us from all sin. We rejoice, O God, that He satisfied the justice of God and that He died the just for us the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And Father, we thank Thee, though He died, He rose again. We thank Thee that He defeated death. He defeated the grave and the powers of hell and the powers of darkness. And Father, we thank that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And we rejoice, O God, today that Christ is our hope. He is our rock. He is our refuge. He is our all in all. And Father, we thank Thee that we have in Christ a sympathizing Savior, one who has touched, O God, with the feeling of our infirmities. And Father, we thank Thee that in every pain and every grief of our heart, that the heart of Christ is touched. And, O God, we thank Thee today that Thou art a God of comfort, Thou art the God of grace, and that Thou art indeed the God of our salvation. And, O God, as we come to Thee today, we pray for Thy blessing upon our seasons of worship today. We thank Thee, O God, for our Sunday school and Bible class this morning. Bless the Word of God to our children, to our young people. We pray that each one of them would be saved early and young in life by Thy grace, and that Thou would lead them on with God, and that Thou would bless them in the ways of God. And Lord, lead them to Christian company as they grow up in life, we pray. And may they not only be saved, but grow up to serve Thee and to follow Thee day by day. We thank Thee, O God, for all have been able to come to Thy house here today. We rejoice in every family and household, O God, that is represented. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt meet the need of every heart and of every life and soul in this meeting house today. We thank Thee, O God, for every believer, every child of Thine. And we pray that Thou wilt encourage Thy people, that Thou wilt strengthen Thy people, that Thou wilt bless them, that Thou, Lord, would lead Thy saints onward and heavenward, O God, with Thee. Help us, Lord, to die to sin and to self. Help us, O God, to live more and more to the glory of Christ. And grant, Lord, that our lives would be conformed more to His image. O God, we ask of Thee. For any, Lord, that might be cold at heart, give that restoring, reviving touch today. For any, Lord, that have gone through times of trial or difficulty, Lord, strengthen them and encourage them today. And be their helper and be their strength, O God, we ask. And for any with us today, old or young, Lord, not saved, Lord, speak to them. And Father, we pray that this very day, Lord, that they will come in faith and in repentance unto Christ and find in Christ pardon and hope and salvation for time and all of eternity. Oh God, we pray for those that cannot be with us here today in Thy house. We think of those that are aged and infirm and can no longer come to God's house. Lord, bless them and minister to them by the grace and power of God. Lord, those that are in hospital and residential care, we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt minister to them by the grace and by the power of God. And Lord, for those that mourn and grieve today, we pray that Thou wilt comfort their hearts by the grace and by the power of God divine. We pray especially, Lord, today for the Muir family, that Thou wilt be near them. Remember Ian and Caroline and the family, and David and Gillian and Jonathan and Mary and the family as well. Lord, bless them and that wider family circle. And Lord, comfort them and encourage them at this time of loss and bereavement, O God, we pray.
And Father, we pray that they might know that underneath and all around are the everlasting arms of the Savior. O God, we pray. Again, we thank Thee for the life and the testimony of Mrs. Moore. And we rejoice, O God, that she is with Thee, which is far better. And Lord, we pray that even in her home calling and in her passing from this scene of time, that others too will be spoken to, that they will realize that the time is short, and that they will come in faith and in repentance unto the Lord for salvation. Undertake especially for the funeral service tomorrow, and give help and grace and strength in that time of great need, we pray. Again, Lord, we do pray for the children's work here, that Thy hand of blessing will be upon it, and our youth fellowship, and every outreach, Lord, from our congregation, that Thou wilt use these things, O God, we pray, to the furtherance of the kingdom of God and the prospering of the gospel in this community, we pray. Again, Lord, we pray for our land today, our nation. Bless all our sister congregations. We pray for every minister, every student, every layman, Lord, who will preach Thy word. May Thy hand of blessing, Lord, be upon them. And Lord, wherever Thy word is faithfully proclaimed today, bless every faithful servant of God. And Lord, bless Thy word. Lord, You have promised that Thy word will not return unto Thee void, O God. And Father, we pray that as Thy word goes forth across these islands today, north and south of this border, and England, Scotland, and Wales, Lord, bless the going forth of Your word. Extend Thy kingdom and build Thy church, we pray. Bless our missionaries today at home and abroad. May Your hand of blessing be upon them, O God, we pray. Now, Lord, we pray for Reverend Patterson and his wife as they've returned to Kenya. Lord, bless them. Help them to settle in there, we pray. And use them in that land, we ask of Thee. And that, Lord, give them in good health and strength and encouragement in the work of God. Remember the work also, Lord, of the society that was represented here on Tuesday night past. Bless that society, Lord, as it seeks to hold forth the great truths of the Reformation across our land. We pray that Thou would bless their witness and their testimony to the extension of Thy kingdom, we pray. Remember our Queen and our royal family. Have mercy, Lord, upon them. We pray that the light of Thy truth, the light of the gospel, will shine into that household, O God, we pray, and that their hearts will be drawn out after Christ and the ways of God. Have mercy, Lord, upon our land. We live in ungodly days, O God, and the enemy has come in like a flood. Yet, Lord, You have said that Thou wilt lift up the standard, and we pray that Thou wilt lift up the standard in our land, that there might be a forsaking of sin, of false religion, and the ways of men, and a turning unto God. And those that rule over us, may they rule in righteousness and in the fear of God and in accordance with Thy word. And Lord, those that would seek to promote laws that are contrary to Thy word and to Thy truth, and bring their plans and their schemes, O God, to nothing, O God, we do pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray that Thou would bless us in our time of worship. Close us in, Lord, with Thyself. Fix every heart, O God, upon Thee. Take our minds off ourselves, off our circumstances. And may we see the Lord today. May we hear the Lord's voice today. May we know, Lord, a real sense of Thy presence in this meeting house. And Lord, in everything that is said and done, may Christ be honored and glorified. We do confess our sins before Thee. Lord, as Thy people, we have sinned against Thee in thought and word and in deed. Lord, we acknowledge our transgressions, and we pray for that fresh cleansing in our Savior's blood, and create within us a clean heart. Renew, Lord, within us a right spirit, and prepare our hearts to meet with Thee, that we might worship Thee, Lord, in spirit and in truth, and that the thoughts of our heart and the words of our lips today would be acceptable, O God, in Thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Bless us now, we pray, as we continue on before Thee. Have Thy way in every heart and life. Do every soul good. And may we leave Thy house today knowing that it was good to be here. For here we met with Thee afresh, our God and our Savior, in whose name we ask all these things. Amen. I'm going to turn again, please, in our hymn book, or in our hymn sheet. It's 371 in our own hymn book. It's a wonderful hymn of testimony. My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. my gracious Redeemer, my Saviour art thou. If ever I loved thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. We'll keep our seats while we sing, and singing it out heartily unto the Lord. Turn this morning, please, in God's Word to the book of the Psalms, to Psalm number 26 for our Bible reading, and then we're turning also to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. And I want to read one verse with you there, part of the verse 17. So if you like to mark those two passages in your scripture, in your Bible, passages of Scripture, reading first of all from Psalm 26. And then turning over to Ephesians chapter 6 and the verse number 17. Let us hear God's word as we read it together. Psalm 26, here we have David before the Lord, pleading his own integrity before the Lord. And in verse 1 of Psalm 26, he says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. And I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. And then turning over to the New Testament book of Ephesians. In recent times, we've been looking at the Christian armor, dealing with that subject today. I want just to look at the latter part of verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 6. We'll just read that verse in its entirety. It says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 17. And our prayers, the Lord will bless this public reading of God's eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning to God's house. It's good to see so many gathered with us today, young and old. We bid you all welcome. And indeed, if you're visiting with us, we extend you a very special welcome. It's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship. Trust that you'll feel at home amongst us today. And if you're a believer, may you be encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. And if you're not saved even today, may you come and put your faith and trust in the Lord for salvation. We welcome also those that are viewing online, whoever you are today, wherever you might be. We pray the Lord will richly bless you today and meet you at the point of your need through His own precious and holy word. Just before we bring the announcement, there is a statement from our presbytery. I'd just like to read out to you as a congregation. This really is in regards to the recent ecumenical service in the Church of Ireland Cathedral in Armagh this past week. And I just read that statement out as follows. It says, "The Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster records its thanks to Almighty God for His blessing upon Northern Ireland since its establishment in 1921. As part of the United Kingdom, all citizens in Northern Ireland have continued to enjoy those civil and religious freedoms that have been the mark of British life, freedoms that the citizens of many nations can but envy. However, as a denomination, the Free Presbyterian Church is grieved that the centenary service scheduled to be held in St. Patrick's Church of Ireland Cathedral, Armagh, on the 21st of October, 2021, was deliberately planned to promote the unbiblical ethos of religious ecumenism. The event was jointly arranged by the leaders of the four main churches, the Roman Catholic, Episcopal, Presbyterian, and Methodist churches. Such ecumenical union does not represent the views of thousands of Ulster Protestants who do not accept the Roman Catholic Church as a Christian church. Our opposition to fellowship with Roman Catholicism is theological. Its dogmas concerning, among other things, the Mass and Mariolatry are unscriptural and are therefore heretical. Participation in this ecumenical service by the leaders of Episcopalianism, Presbyterianism, and Methodism is a betrayal of the Protestant and Reformed creeds and confessions that these church leaders subscribe to and claim to believe. These creeds and confessions we hold dear, for they are the basis of true liberty of conscience and are the foundation of the religious freedom with which Northern Ireland has been blessed over this past century. We would call on members of these churches to repudiate and withstand the efforts of the ecumenical leaders in their continual betrayal of true biblical Protestantism. Their ecumenical church leaders state that they saw this service in Armagh as a moment in a much longer journey towards reconciliation, which will require the prayerful support and engagement of Christians across these islands. We would remind all who read these lines that true reconciliation among people before Almighty God can be secured only as based on the finished work of Christ at Calvary. The Word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 to 21, clearly presents
The reconciliation with God which sinful man needs to be in Christ. And the Word of God goes on to say, "Be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Amen. We welcome that statement and give it its full support and endorsement, and trust the Lord will bless it to all. Now, the announcements for the incoming week are as follows. Do remember, please, here in our church tonight at 7 o'clock, our gospel service. Remember that meeting. We encourage you to come back tonight and invite and bring others with you. We belong to bring God's word, so be much in prayer for that gospel service and gather others in, young and old alike, under the sound of God's word. The outreach normally for tomorrow will be cancelled this week due to the funeral service here tomorrow. Tuesday, 8 o'clock, is our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. I belong to take that meeting, and we commend that to every believer. Trust as many as possible will gather for the season of prayer and Bible study. We want to commence a study just in the book of Colossians, so do remember that, pray for it, and come along and join with us around God's word and around the throne of grace in prayer. Friday night, the children's meeting is off due to the midterm break, but the youth fellowship will be as normal here in the church on Friday night at 8 p.m. So remember that, young people, encourage you to come along and invite and bring your friends with you. Can I say also, all the children's meetings this week are off due to the midterm break. Next Lord's Day, the 31st of October, is Reformation Sunday. Morning, 11 a.m., Sabbath school and Bible class. Morning service at 12 noon. And then the evening gospel service at 7. And I'll belong to preach God's word. And being Reformation Sunday next Sunday evening, we want to look at the subject, what is a true Protestant? What is a true Protestant? The lines in Protestantism have become very blurred through all the things that are happening in society. And we want to look at what the Bible has to say and teach us about true biblical Protestantism. So do remember that, pray for it, make it known. I know quite a number of you are in membership of different loyal orders. Make it known to your friends there and invite them and encourage them along to come to hear what God's word has to say about this matter. This coming Saturday as well, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, there's a prayer meeting for our land via Zoom organized by our Presbytery Morals Committee. And for log-on details for that, contact myself or some of the elders that can be forwarded to you. There are free copies there of the Bulwark magazine. We commend it to you. That's produced by the Evangelical Protestant Society. Those are free. You'll find good reading there. And then also, can I draw your attention to another free booklet, really highlighting the error of evolution, as compiled by the Reverend David Linden. It's free. We commend it to you. And the question is, who is the fool? And there's good reading there. And we commend that especially to the young in our congregation, exposing the awful lie about evolution. Also, Lord's Day, the 14th of November, 3 weeks from today at 7 o'clock, will be our annual Remembrance Night service. There'll be an act of remembrance and a reflent ceremony. There'll be members of our congregation taking part, and the guest soloist, Mr. Stephen Anderson. And there are wee invites for that. They're out on the table in the porch. We again encourage you to take those, give them out. I know many of you in the past have served in the security forces here in the province, and do make it known to your comrades from times by and encourage them to come along to that service, please. Also this afternoon, 3:30, is the monthly gospel meeting, the Ocker Free Presbyterian Meeting House, called Mercer there. Reverend Mercer will be bringing God's word. Do pray also for Noel and Colin, God willing. They're planning open airs in Enniskillen and Keish and Irvinstown on Thursday. So be much in prayer for that witness. So do remember that, please. Those are all the announcements. But as a church and as a congregation, I'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy to our clerk of session, Mr. Ian Moore's wife Caroline, children Andrew, Anna, and Julia. Also to our deacon, Mr. David Moore, and wife Gillian, on the passing of their mother, Mrs. Florence Moore. We also extend our sympathy to Mr. Jonathan Moore and wife Mary, and children Olivia as well, and Caroline. And then also to Mrs. Joan Moore, who's a sister-in-law to Mrs. Florence Moore. We extend our sympathy to this entire family circle, praying the Lord will comfort them at this time of loss and bereavement, and that they will know the strength and the grace of the Lord. Mrs. Moore was a founding member here of the congregation, very, very faithful in her witness, and no doubt her presence here will be greatly missed among us.
Well, we thank the Lord for her and every remembrance of her. But be much in prayer for the family. The funeral service will be here in the church tomorrow at 1:30. And then there's also a week. Be much in prayer for the family at this time of loss and bereavement. That's all by way of necessary announcements. Returning again, please, in our hymn book. It's the hymn number 188. It's the final hymn just in our order of service. It's a great hymn about the Word of God. It says, "O wonderful, wonderful Word of the Lord, true wisdom its pages unfold, and though we may read them 1,000 times o'er, they never, no, never grow old." We'll keep our seats while we sing. And singing it out heartily unto the Lord.
Oh,
We're going to turn, please, to that verse we read earlier, to Ephesians chapter number 6, and the verse number 17. Just before we come to the preaching of God's word, maybe we could stand to our feet just to change our position, just for a brief word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, bless us now as we come to thy precious word, thy holy truth. Draw near, outpour thy Spirit upon us this day, O God, we pray. And Lord, through the entrance of thy word, may light and truth dwell in our hearts and in our souls by the power of God. Use thy word to the strengthening of the people of God. Lord, use thy word to the saving of the lost and to the glorifying of Christ. Fill me now afresh with the Holy Ghost. Undertake for us and give help now in the remaining part of this meeting. Still every heart before thee. Do every soul much good. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now our text today is really the latter part of Ephesians chapter 6 and the verse number 17, where it says, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now the sword is an ancient weapon of warfare. History tells how swords were first made from flint and then bronze, iron, and then latterly high-quality steel. And the sword was a must for both the infantryman and the cavalryman in any army of a bygone day. Yes, the sword has a fine point, and some of them were single-edged and others were double-edged. And whenever it was kept sharp and used well, it could inflict terrible blows and deadly wounds upon any enemy that was approaching. Now, though any military sword is a potent weapon, it must not be confused with the sword that God has given to his people. You see, that sword that God has given to his people for the advancement of his kingdom, it is not a military sword. It is not a carnal sword or a physical or a fleshly sword. Indeed, the Bible says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." You see, God's cause and God's kingdom is never advanced by any physical force or by any military might or by any political power. You remember the time whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was arrested. We read in the scriptures how one of the disciples drew his sword in the defense of Christ, and Christ rebuked him. He said, "Put up again thy sword into his place." And the work of God is never advanced by the machinery or the organizations or the institutions of men, no matter how well organized they may be. Rather, the weapons that God has given to his people for the advance of his cause and the gospel, they are spiritual weapons. Indeed, the Bible says they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And this is the truth that is highlighted in our text this morning here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, where Paul speaks to the believers in the church at Ephesus. And he says, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Yes, if this church here at Ephesus in Paul's day was to war a good warfare for God and fight the good fight of faith, then she must take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And child of God, can I say that same necessity applies to you and I also today? Yes, it applies to us as a church, as a branch of the vine of Christ. And it applies to us individually as believers in the Lord. Yes, in fighting the good fight of faith, we must wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Therefore, as we would consider today the sixth piece of the Christian armor, there are three things I want to share with you regarding the sword of the Spirit. Notice, first of all, with me the uniqueness of the sword of the Spirit. The first five pieces of the Christian armor that we've looked at, they were all defensive. They were solely used to defend the Christian from satanic attack. But this is not so with the sword of the Spirit.
Yes, we can say that the sword of the Spirit has a defensive purpose in that it is used to build believers up in the faith and in the things of God. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul when he was leaving the church at Ephesus. He had ministered there for some 3.5 years and he gave them this counsel. He says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. There we see how the word of God has a building up effect in the life of the Christian and the life of God's people. However, the sword of the Spirit also has an offensive purpose. In other words, it is used for attacking and for pulling down the citadels and the strongholds of Satan and the powers of darkness. Turn with me in your Bible back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. And the verses 4 and 5, we've mentioned these verses already in our introduction, but just look at them in their entirety. And look here at what Paul says about the weapons of the Christian believer in the Christian church. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, they're not fleshly. They're not physical. They're not of the things of this world. But are mighty, says, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There you see the offensive purpose of the weapons that God gives his people. They are for the pulling down of strongholds, the strongholds of Satan, and those things that exalt themselves and are opposed to God, to Christ, and to the gospel. Again, you think of what the Lord says about his word in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verse 29. He says, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? And there we see the power of the word of God is like a fire that consumes that which is in its path. It's like a hammer that smashes the rock in pieces. Yes, there we see the power of the word of God. You think of the time of the Protestant Reformation. Whenever the darkness and superstition of Roman Catholicism was given a blow, that victory was wrought through the word of God. God blessed his word mightily and powerfully at that time. I believe the Protestant Reformation was perhaps one of the greatest awakening spiritual revivals the Church of Christ has ever known. God blessed his word, and the word of God was made available to the people in the language of the mother tongue, and God took it up and blessed it and used it to bring down the works of darkness at that time. Martin Luther, the reformer, said, I have done nothing. The word has done and accomplished everything. He knew the value, the potency of the word of God. And believer, can I say to you in the meeting this morning, this is why there has been many attacks upon God's word down throughout the ages. You think back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned. How did it commence? It started by the devil attacking the word of God, denying the word of God, and speaking against the word of God. And that's the devil's strategy down throughout the ages, right to the very end of time. That attack, it continues today. It continues very much with the promotion of the lie of evolution, that we all evolved from some bang or from monkeys. That's the devil's lie. And it's attack upon the word of God and the account of God's word of creation, that God is the great creator of the entire universe. The word of God is attacked today by liberal theology, those that deny that the great doctrines of the word of God. The word of God is attacked today by the rejection of God's word in our society. And you see that very much in the public square today, where there's every kind of evil now being promoted and manifested that is contrary to the word of God. And it is also seen, dear people, in the multiplicity of modern perversions of Scripture. And yes, these new versions, they deny and they undermine the authority and the teaching of God's word on many occasions within their pages. People, I say to you today that the best English translation of the Old and New Testament scriptures is the Authorized King James Version. It's that version that is closest to the ancient Hebrew and Greek text. It is a version that has been signally blessed and used of God and has had God's smile and approval upon it down throughout the ages of time. Turn with me in your Bible back to Psalm number 19. And just look here at what David says about the Word of God. In the opening part of Psalm 19, he deals with the revelation of God in creation. Then in the latter part of Psalm 19, he deals with the supernatural revelation of God and His Word. And look at what he says about the Word of God in verse 7 of Psalm 19. He says, "The law of God is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." In the latter part of verse 9, he says, "The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them is great reward." And there you see how David prized and cherished the Word of God. And dear Christian in the meeting house this morning, I say to you also, cherish and prize the Word of God, the Bible that you have in your hand. It has been given to you and won for you at great price, at great cost. Yes, child of God, God has given His Word to build you up in your faith, build us up in our faith as God's people. But He has also given us His Word to bring down the citadels of Satan and to attack and to bring down the kingdom of darkness. Yes, we see the uniqueness of the sword of the Spirit. But then, secondly, I want you to notice today the meaning of the sword of the Spirit. Look at what Paul says in our text there in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. He says, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Notice those words there, "the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And here you see it, this sword, it is the Word of God. And people, it is the Holy Spirit Himself who has given us this sword, which is the Word of God. He is the author of the Scriptures. The Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the Old Testament and the New Testament Scriptures have come down from God to us through the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit Himself. You think of what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and in the verse 21. He says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And there you see that the Bible is not of man's origin or man's might or man's thinking. No, it has come to us from God through the Holy Spirit, prompting and leading holy men of old to pen the sacred Scriptures. Believer, your Bible is the sword of the Spirit. That book that you have in your hand in this house today is the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. And how important then it is that we read our Bibles, that we study the Scriptures with appreciation, with reverence, with prayerful hearts and prayerful spirits. David could say, "I rejoice in thy word," as one that findeth great spoil. He rejoiced in the Word of God. Yes, the Holy Ghost has given us. He's the author of the Scriptures, the sword of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is also the one who enables us to understand the Word of God. Turn with me back, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And look with me, please, at what Paul says here in verses 10, 11, and 12. He's been speaking prior to this of the things that God has given to His people, the things that He has revealed unto them through His Word and through His truth. And then he says in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "But God have revealed them unto us by His Spirit." That speaks of the Holy Spirit. "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Notice it, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And there he speaks of the Holy Spirit enlighten us and teaching us and helping us to understand the Scriptures, those things that God has given to us in his word and in his truth. It says there at the end of verse number 12 that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. This was a truth that the hymn writer realized of a bygone day. Yes, speaking of the word of God, the hymn writer said, Spirit of God, my teacher, be showing the things of Christ to me. And they knew the Holy Spirit to be their teacher when they came to the word of God. And Christian, every time you come to the word of God, come to read it in private, come to listen to it in public, pray that the Holy Spirit would enlighten your heart and mind, that the Holy Ghost would help us understand the word of God as we find it in the Scriptures before us. You think of what the psalmist prayed. He said, Lord, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And that's a prayer we can utter every time we come to the word of God. Also, we can say further, the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to use God's word to repel Satan and to bring down his strongholds. And we have a wonderful example of this in the very life of Christ himself. Turn with me back to Matthew's gospel and to the chapter number 3 and the chapter number 4. Matthew's gospel, chapter 16, you read here of the baptism of Christ and how he was filled with the Spirit of God. It says, verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And Christ was filled with the Spirit of God. Chapter 4, you read of his temptation in the wilderness by the devil. And the devil tempts him on 3 occasions. The devil tempts him to obey him. The devil tempts him to take his own life. The devil tempts him to worship him. And in all these temptations, Christ rebukes the overtures, the temptations of the evil one by the word of God. Look at verse 4 of Matthew chapter 4. Christ says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And he says before that it is written, he's quoting the word of God. Verse number 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then in verse number 10, it says there, Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. There you see how Christ rebuked Satan, and he used the word of God to defeat his temptations at that time. And Christian, let us learn from that how important then it is as Christians we are filled with the Spirit of God. Yes, this is vital if we are to use God's word aright in fighting the good fight of faith and battling against the world, the flesh, and the devil. The Bible says to you and I as Christians, it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Daily let us pray that we might be filled with the Spirit of God so that we can wield the sword of the Spirit and use the sword of the Spirit aright when we're attacked by the evil one. The uniqueness of the sword, the meaning of the sword. One final thought today, notice the deployment of the sword of the Spirit. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Look with me here at what the apostle says about the word of God in verse number 12 of Hebrews chapter 4. He makes a tremendous statement here about the word of God. He says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That word quick means living. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Here we're told that God's word is quick. In other words, a living word. It's a powerful word. It's sharper, we're told, than a two-edged sword, and it pierces right down into the very deepest part of the human heart. And my, whenever it is blessed and applied by the Holy Spirit, God's word is sufficient. That's something we need to understand. The word of God is sufficient to meet the need in every human heart. Charles Dickens, as you know, was a famous writer of a bygone day. Wrote many, many famous books that our children read in school. But he knew the value of the word of God. And on occasion, speaking of the New Testament, he said these words. He says, the New Testament is the best book the world has ever known or will ever know. He knew the value, the potency, the power of the word of God. You remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, brethren, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He knew that the power of the word of God. And that being the case as Christians, we must make much of the word of God in all our witness for Christ, in all our service for God. And child of God, yes, if you and I, if we are to make much of God's word in our personal lives and in our service for God, then we must get to know the word of God. And by our knowledge of God's word, yes, it is increased by the prayerful reading of the word of God. And Revelation 1 verse 3, it says, there blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Tell me, Christian, this morning, do you read your Bible? Do you take time to read the scriptures day by day? Maybe you read the daily papers or weekly papers, whatever, but do you read the Bible? Do you set aside time daily to read the word of God? Christian, it's important that we read the scriptures, that we get to know the Bible. Old Bishop J.C. Ryle from Liverpool, he said these words. He said, a nation's best defense against error is a Bible reading laity. The importance of reading the word of God. Sad to say, in many, many homes across Northern Ireland today, the Bible's a closed book. Set aside. There's dust on the Bible. Christian, read the Bible. Good to read it in church. That's important. Scriptures should be read in God's house and the normal, regular worship services, but read it also in your own personal life day by day. Also, our knowledge of God's word is furthered by meditating upon God's word, thinking upon the word of God. David could say, I will meditate in thy precepts. Yes, we cannot always be reading the word of God. You've got your business, your work to do. But Christian, as you go about your business, go about your work, think on God's word. Paul says, think on these things. Meditate on the word of God. Should it be just a little verse, chew it over in your heart, chew it over in your mind, pray over it in your soul, and it will bless you and encourage you as a Christian. Then our knowledge also of God's word is enhanced by regularly attending the public and faithful preaching of God's word. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And people of God, when we've got health and strength and freedom and liberty, we should attend God's house, bring our families to the house of God, our children, under the sound of God's word, under the preaching of God's word. How vital that is. Then also as Christians, if we are to make much of God's word in all our Christian service, we must spread the word of God. That's our mandate. That's our commission. We must preach the word of God. We must teach the word of God. Paul said to Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. When it's not popular, Paul said, go on, Timothy, preaching the word of God. The psalmist says to the Lord, the entrance of thy word giveth light. And God's word brings light to darkened hearts, to darkened homes, and darkened families. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is light. It's the opposite of the darkness of sin and the darkness of this world. Turn with me back to Isaiah chapter 55.
Isaiah chapter 55, and look here at what God says about his word. Verse number 11 of Isaiah 55. He says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." And that is God's promise, and God cannot lie. And God, yes, has promised to bless his word and to use his word, what for? To save souls, to sanctify and build up the saints of God in the ways of God. How vital the word of God is. I remember the wee course I learned in Sunday school many years ago about the word of God. It said, "I have a wonderful treasure, the gift of God without measure. And so we'll travel together, my Bible and mine." My, the writer of that course knew the value, the importance of the word of God. What a treasure it is. Christian, in all our service for God and all our work for God, the word of God must be central. That must be preeminent. There are many so-called churches today and many forms of so-called Christian service and worship. And sad to say, the word of God has been replaced. Replaced by man's philosophies and man's ideals and the entertainments of this world. Brethren and sisters in Christ, can I say to you this morning, in this end time age of deepening apostasy and spiritual darkness, let us be those who hold fast to God's word. In all our service for God and all our battles for God, we are to cleave to the sword of the Spirit. You look at our text again there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. Look at what it says. Paul says here, "And take the sword of the Spirit," which is the word of God. He doesn't say, "Lay down the sword." No. He doesn't say, "Set aside the sword." No, he says, "Take." It's present continuous tense in the verse. In other words, until the Lord comes, or until the Lord calls us home to glory itself, we are to take up the sword of God. As Christians, we're never to leave it aside. We are to cleave to the word of God. Our text says, "Take the sword of the Spirit." Take it up, Christian. We do not cast it down. We do not lay it aside until we leave the scene of time and go home to heaven and go home to glory. If you're in the meeting this morning and you're not saved, let me say this. It's vital that you heed the word of God. And the word of God says to you, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." That means you turning away from your sins. And by faith alone, it means you trusting, resting on Christ and his sacrifice alone for your salvation. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The Bible says time is short. The counsel of God's word, if you're in the meeting today not saved, or if you're listening in and you're not saved, is this: seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Repent, believe the gospel, turn to Christ. He'll forgive all your sins. He'll save your soul. He'll take you to heaven. By his grace and power, he'll enable you to stand for him, to live for him, to live for his word, his truth, day by day until Jesus Christ comes or calls you home to glory. We're going to close our meeting just with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, for thy presence with us today. We thank thee for the sword of the Spirit, that gift that thou hast given to thy people, to thy church, the word of God. That is inerrant, that is eternal, that is infallible, that will forever stand. Help us, Lord, as thy people to love thy word. Help us to read thy word. Help us, Lord, to cherish thy word. Help us, Lord, to obey thy word and live it out in our lives day by day. And help us to spread thy word. And Lord, for any in the meeting house today not saved, may they heed the word of God today and repent. Turn to Christ by faith. And trust him as their own and personal Savior. Bless us now. Take us to our homes in safety. Give us traveling mercies. Keep your hand upon us throughout today. Return us again in thy will this evening hour. For we pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and for thine eternal glory and praise. Amen and amen.